I encourage you to come with me to over to Mark chapter 4, verse 35 through 41. And the Bible reads, say amen if you have it, please.
Amen.
All right, that's enough then. We have enough people there, so let's go. The Bible says, that day when evening came, he said to his disciples, let us go over to the other side. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There was also other boats with him. A furious storm came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in a stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, Teacher, don't you care if we drown? Now Jesus got up. He rebuked the wind and he said to the waves, quiet, be still. And then the wind died down and it was completely calm. Now he said to his disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? They were terrified and they asked each other, who is this that even the wind and the waves obey him? Now I'd like to use for a topic for my message this morning. If you know the pilot, don't worry about the journey. I say, if you know the pilot, don't worry about the journey. Now, a few years back, I took a business trip to Atlanta, Georgia. Now, I boarded this 747 jumbo jet, leaving New Orleans, going to Atlanta. Now, when we got close to Atlanta, the captain told us to prepare for landing, that we would be landing in about 10 or 15 minutes. Now, about another 15 minutes went by, and we still was on a plane. Now, I know we were in Atlanta because Atlanta's a big city. Anybody ever been there? It's a very big city. And I can see all the buildings, and we can see that we were in the city. But we still haven't landed. About another 10 or 15 minutes went by, and we still didn't land. And all of us on the plane, we started to get a little worried. Like, what's going on here? We noticed that we was just circling around the city. Now, as I sat on the plane, the thought occurred to me. I realized that I didn't know the pilot of this huge plane loaded with more than 200 passengers on board. I realized that I put myself into the hands of a complete stranger. I realized that I didn't know this guy's name, his background, his training level, his personal habits, his flying records, or even his experience. You see, I realize that I don't know even his present condition.
Yeah.
You see, for all I know, this guy could have been drunk, on drugs, he could have been sleepy, angry, or maybe even suicidal. I realize that I let this man take me more than 40,000 feet into the air and nearly 3,000 miles. Mm-hmm. Now, while I hope to land safely, I do believe that I would have felt better if I knew the pilot.
All right.
Now, several years before that, an American Airlines flight crashed into the mountains in South America, in which 160 people were killed. Now, the expert says that there was no mechanical failure or no weather condition factor, but it was narrowed down to just pilot error. And on Friday, February the 9th, in 1996, two computer trains collided into each other in New Jersey with fatal consequences. Now, in this crash, a rush hour train loaded with more than 650 people on board passed a red signal and they smashed into an oncoming train. And the cause of the crash, of this crash, was engineering error. Now, if you know the pilot, church, then you don't have to worry about the journey.
Yes, yes.
You see, the pilot of the train is an engineer. The pilot of a ship is a captain.
Yes.
The pilot of a spaceship is an astronaut.
Yes.
The pilot of the bus is the bus driver.
Mm-hmm.
The pilot of an automobile is a driver.
Yes.
Now, I think I ought to tell you that we ought to check out the pilots of these vehicles before we hop on board. Am I right about it?
Right.
Now today, as we take an unknown journey and to the future. We don't know what dangers that the future holds. This old wicked world that we're living in, that we're traveling through, is more dangerous than ever before. You see, there are physical dangers. Every day, there are criminal attacks. Some people are settling minor arguments on the street with blazing guns. You and I could be in the wrong place at the wrong time and become the victim of a mad murder or a drive-by shooting.
Yes.
It reminds me of a story. Of a story of a man who was about to commit suicide. This guy was going to commit suicide by jumping from the George Washington Bridge. Now, before this man can plunge into the deadly waters, another man drove up. This man got out of his car, and he cried out to the man. He said, "Sir, sir, don't do it. Don't jump." He told him that there's hope. He said, "Life can be so beautiful."
Yes.
He told him to give yourself another chance. He says, "Think of all your loved ones. Why are you going to do this?" Now, the man who was about to commit suicide, he gave his answer. The man says that there's so much evil in the world today. He says that killing is all around us. There's drugs, there's rape, there's war, there's starvation, there's hatred and hunger. It's bad everywhere. And the man went on and on. And when he got through, the man who tried to rescue him from jumping, he joined hands with him and they both jump off the river. Church, we living in some hard times, aren't we? We living in the last days and things are tough. The life is tough. It's tough in this world today. You see, the question that is on the floor this morning is, how do you deal with a journey that is filled with devastation dangers? Now, my brothers and sisters, the secret to feeling safe and secure is to know the pilot.
Amen.
See, if you truly know the pilot,
yes,
which is Jesus Christ our Lord,
yes,
if you truly know him and have a relationship with him,
yes,
then you wouldn't worry about the journey.
Amen.
Now, in our text this morning, in Mark chapter 4, right around verse 35 through 41, now I'm going to paraphrase some of this for time's sake. In the text, Jesus went down to the sea to a ship. Now, with his disciples, he got on board and he set sail. Now, he must have had a tiresome day healing and preaching and teaching, because the Bible says that Jesus soon fell into a deep sleep. But then all of a sudden, a storm arose. The ship was tossed violently about, and with water leaking in, the ship began to sink, the Bible says. Now, the disciples, they became terrified. And as they were trying to save the ship from sinking, they thought about Jesus. And they yell out, "Jesus, Jesus, where is Jesus?" Now, they found him in another part of the ship, sleeping peacefully. Now, one of the disciples, probably Peter, reached out, and he shook Jesus to wake him up. And he said, "Master, Master, don't you care if we drown?" And Jesus stood up like a man, but he acted like a God.
Yes.
And he spoke with authority to the wind,
amen,
and to the sea. And Jesus says, "Peace, be still. Peace, be still."
Yes.
And then immediately the waves subside, the winds calm down, and they were sailing on untroubled waters once again.
Amen.
Now, leaping out of this incident nearly 2,000 years ago is this. Is if you know the pilot, then you won't push the panic button when a journey gets rough.
Amen.
You see, sometimes in life, church, the journey is going to get rough. Sometimes things, hard times, going to happen to all of us. But if you know the pilot, which is Jesus Christ, then you're not going to panic and you won't hit the panic button,
amen,
when things get rough.
Amen.
You see, these disciples were experienced fishermen. They have been through hard times before, but and they've been in storms like this before. You see, but they panic. They panic because even though they had walked and talked with Jesus, they really didn't know him. They really didn't know Jesus. See, Jesus knew that the storm was coming. Matter of fact, I believe it was a part of their curriculum for that day.
Amen.
You see, the disciples needed to learn that Jesus could be trusted in the storms of life.
Amen.
Now, church, in these difficult times ahead, you and I, we might be tempted to reach for the panic button, a visit to the doctor, a phone call, a telegram, a child going astray, a pink slip on a job. See, all these things can bring about some alarming news. But if you know the pilot, which is Jesus Christ our Lord, then you'll have faith in him. And if you have faith in Jesus, church, then you won't panic when bad things happen in your life. Am I right about it? See, God wants us to have faith in him all the times, even the times when we think he's not here. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, it says that faith is evidence of things not seen. See, even though you may not see the Lord, believe you me that the Lord is with you. He's with us at all times. Matter of fact, Paul says in 2 Timothy 1:12, Paul says that I know whom I believe, and I'm persuaded that he's able. See, Paul is persuaded that Jesus is able. You see, these disciples evidently didn't know the power of the man on board this ship.
Amen.
And consequently, when Jesus calmed the storm, he see by speaking to the winds and the waves, the disciples cried out. The disciples says that, what kind of man is this that even the wind and the waves obey him? You see, I stopped by here this morning to tell you that we serve an on-time God. You see, he might not come when you want him, but he's right on time. Am I right about it? You see, there's many biblical examples to share with you that Jesus is an on-time God. When Moses and the children of Israel were standing at the Red Sea and their enemies were in a hot pursuit, then they tell you this morning that he's an on-time God who built an expressway through the Red Sea. You see, the three Hebrews who were cast into the furious furnace would tell you that he's an on-time God. Daniel in the lion's den would tell you that he's an on-time God. The 5,000 multitude will tell you this morning that he's an on-time God. When Jesus, when he fed 5,000 with just 2 small fishes and 5 loaves of bread. Y'all don't hear me now. See, God is an on-time God. He may not come when you want him, but he's right on time. He's right on time. You see, this pilot, whose name is Jesus, he's able to bring you into a safer harbor. See if you know him, but you gotta know him. Do you know him this morning? See if you know the Lord, then you know that he cares for you. You see, in the midst of the storm, these fearful disciples, they cried out, they say, Master, don't you care that we're drowning? Don't you care? You see, this is the cry of suffering humanity.
Yes.
All across the ages, folks are crying out this everywhere. They're saying things like, I'm hurting, Lord. My body is in pain. My heart is broken. Yes. I'm lonely, Lord. My life is in shambles. Don't you care that for me at all, Lord? People are crying that everywhere. But I stop by to tell you that when you know the pilot, then you know the answer to these cosmetic questions.
Right.
You see, church, in days ahead, I want you to never forget that when you're in trouble, there's trouble on every side. You need to remember that he cares for you. You see, when you're betrayed and disappointed, you need to know that Jesus cares for you. When you're mistreated and abused, Jesus cares for you. When your heart is broken in pieces, Jesus still cares for you. When it seems like nobody else cares for you, Jesus cares for you. Am I right about it?
Right.
Sometimes it gets that way.
That's right.
But you have to know him.
Amen.
You need to know him. And do you know him this morning?
Amen.
Do you know the pilot? Let me ask you this. Do you know the pilot of the church this morning?
Jesus.
I say, do you know the pilot
Jesus.
Of the church this morning?
Amen.
You see, I'm not asking if your parents know the pilot.
Right.
I'm asking you, do you know the pilot of the church this morning? See, I'm not asking if your spouse know or your relative or friends know. I'm asking, do you know the pilot of the church this morning?
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. Have you been baptized for the remission of your sins? Have you been born again? Has your soul been converted? Are you a child of God this morning?
Amen.
Have you been added to the one and only Lord's church? Have you been? Do you know him this morning?
Yeah.
See, this is one thing you should know about the church. Jesus built his church. Jesus purchased his church Amen. With his precious blood.
Amen.
Jesus loves his church. He's the savior of the church. He's the redeemer of the church. In one of these good old days, Jesus is coming back for his church. And he's going to take it up yonder, way over yonder, where the wicked shall cease from troubling and the weary will be at rest. Do you know that, church? But you got to know him. Do you know the pilot of the church this morning? Let me tell you this. Jesus is not the pilot of every church. I say Jesus is not the pilot of every church, but only his church. Psalms 127 and 1 says that any house will not do and any church won't do. See, folks won't make you to believe that any church is just as good as another. Any house won't do and any church won't do. Jesus is not the pilot of just any church. Can I break it down for you? The Bible says, the pilot of the Catholic Church is Pope Boniface III, and he started this church in 606 AD over there in Rome. The pilot of the Lutheran Church is Martin Luther, and he started this church in 1512 over there in Germany. The pilot of the Presbyterian Church is John Calvin, and he started this church in 1536 over there in Switzerland. The pilot of the Baptist Church is John Smyth, and he started this church in 1607 over there in Holland. The pilot of the Jehovah's Witness Church is Charles Russell, and he started this church in America right here in 1872. The pilot of the Church of God in Christ is C.H. Mason, and he started this church in 1897 over there in Memphis. But all these pilots, founders of man-made churches, died, and they're still dead today. You see, these dead pilots can't help you on your journey. They can't help you this morning. But the pilot of the Church of Christ is the one who says in Revelation 1 and 18, he says, I'm he who liveth once dead, but I'm alive forevermore, and I hold the keys to life and to death. Do you know him this morning? Do you know the pilot of the church this morning? You see? Only this pilot can land you safely on the other side of death. This pilot has a whosoever invitation. Let him come. This pilot towers above every other pilot. This pilot knows the end from the beginning and the after before the befores. This pilot knows our place before we even go there. This pilot, do you know him? Do you know the pilot of the church this morning? See, so you need to know him this morning, church. You need to know that in this pilot, our sins are washed away, our days get brighter, and our burdens are made lighter. You need to know that in this pilot, there's joy and sorrow, and there's hope for tomorrow. In this pilot, stumbling blocks become stepping stones. In this pilot, we have a relationship that can never be ended. We have a wealth that can never be depleted. We have a resources that can never be diminished. In this pilot, we have a peace that can never be destroyed. We have a power that can never be exhausted. In this pilot, we have a hope that can never be disappointed, and a resurrection that can never be hindered. In this pilot, church. But do you know him? Do you know the Lord this morning? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ, and that he's able to save your soul? This pilot, do you know him? Do you know Jesus this morning? You can get to know him this morning, and you can allow Jesus to be the pilot of your life by becoming a child of God according to the scriptures. This pilot, who's the pilot of your life this morning? Who's God in your life this morning? Do you know him? You can get to know him this morning by surrendering yourself to him. See, you become a Christian the same way that everybody else does, and you can allow Jesus to be your pilot by hearing his words, Romans 10 and 9, by believing it, Hebrews 11 and 6, and by repenting of your sins this morning, Luke 13 and 3, and by confessing Jesus Christ as Lord, Matthew 10 and 32, and by being baptized. Why? for the remission of your sins. Acts 2:38. And see, when you become a Christian, when you become a child of God, a Christian, according to the Bible, then Jesus will guide your life. And his spirit would live in you, and it would help you on this journey. This journey is tough. Y'all know living is tough. Dying is easy, but it's living that is tough. But Jesus and God has gave us something to help us with. And I open up with that, and I'm coming to a close when I ask everybody to raise it up. And that's the word of God. God has gave us something to help us live in this world today. And that's the word of God. It's powerful, and it can help you. It can help you combat Satan when you are running through some tough times in life. Matter of fact, that's exactly what Jesus used in Matthew 4, when Jesus was tempted in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus used scriptures to fight against Satan. You and I need to use scriptures to help combat and fight against Satan. See, Satan, sometimes he's going to attack you. You need to know some things. You need to know. See, I got some power scriptures. I often tell you about them. Some power scriptures that I keep in my pocket for hard times. See, I know in 2 Timothy 1:7 that God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, love, and self-discipline. See, I know that in Proverbs 16:9 that a heart of a man plans his ways, but it's the Lord that directs his paths. You see, I go to sometimes in Matthew 19:26 where the Bible tells us that what is impossible with man is possible with God. You need to know that in Romans 8:28 that all things God do for the good of those who love him. You got to have some powerful scriptures when the devil is attacking you. You need to know in 1 Corinthians 10:13 the Bible tells us that no temptation has overcome you. Right. Yet what is common to man, but God is faithful. And God will not let you be tempted more than you can bear. And when you're tempted, he will provide a way out so that you can endure. Am I right about it? We need to know these scriptures. You need to know that in James 4, right around verse 7, James says to submit them to God. Resist the devil. And guess what? He will flee from you. You need to know that in 1 Peter 5, right around verse 7, Peter says that cast all your worries, all of them, onto the Lord. Why? Because God cares for you. We need to know these power scriptures. You need to be able to turn over to Hebrews 13, right around verse 9, and the Lord tells us to keep away from the love of money. Be content with what you have. Remember, God said never would I leave you, and never would we need to know. You need to know in 1 Samuel 16, right around verse 7. Samuel said in the word of God, he says that God doesn't see what man sees. Man look at the outward appearance, but God sees the heart. He's seeing what's inside of us. We need to know that when times get tough. You need to know that in Proverbs 30, right around verse 5, that weeping may last for a moment, but joy is coming in the morning. Am I right? So that he can help us on our journey. The journey is rough. Let me ask you, do you know him? Do you know the pilot this morning? Do you know the pilot, which is Jesus Christ? I say, if you know him this morning, if you know him, you wouldn't worry about your journey. See, there's no need for us to worry about the journey this morning. But you got to know Jesus. You got to be a child of God according to the scriptures this morning. You can come to know Jesus. It starts with you making that decision. Make the right decision this morning. Give your life to Christ, and your life would never be the same. Once again, you do that by hearing this word. You heard it this morning. And by believing it. Do you believe what you heard? Do you believe in that God can save your soul? Do you believe this? The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6 that without faith, it is impossible to please him. Then you got to repent of your sins. You see, you can't keep doing the same thing expecting a different result, right? That's insane. That's what they define insane. You got to change. Right now is the time for a change. Am I right about it? So repent of your sins. Because God says in Luke 13:3, less we repent, we were all likewise perish. And then God tells us to confess. Confess what? The sweetest name on earth. There's no name as sweet as it. The name of Jesus. Am I right about it? When we get in trouble, who we call on? Jesus. That's a sweet name. And so we need to call on Jesus this morning. And we need to confess him in Matthew 10:32. And finally, we're baptizing. We're ready this morning. We got our pump. You're not going to have to wait 30, 40 minutes. We're not going to have to wait 30, 40 minutes for us to baptize you. If you're ready, we're ready. We'll baptize you. you in the name of the Father, the Soul, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit this morning for the remission of your sins. Amen. See, in order to be pleasing to God, you have to obey Him. You not only have to believe in Him, you have to obey Him as well. And if you obey God, you obey Him by accepting Him, putting on Christ. 1 Corinthians 12 and 12 tells us that God, you're baptized into the body. First, Ephesians 1, 24, the Bible, 22 to 24 tells us that the body is the church. You're baptized into the church. Acts 2 and 41 says that the Lord, not me, not Greg, not Brother Miller, but the Lord would add you to His church. Amen. What church? The church that Jesus Christ is the pilot of. Not none of these man-made churches. Amen. But the Lord, I'm not here to offend anyone this morning, but you got to be a member of the Lord's church, and the Lord would add you to His church this morning,
yes,
to His body. This is the church He's coming back from. We're not talking about this building. He's not, he don't care about this building. He's talking about the group of people, the believers, all of us who believe and teaching the same thing. Do you believe it this morning? Make the right choice. Come to God this morning. You've tried everything else. Huh? I know you tried everything else. Not try Christ. Give Him an opportunity. Come to God. You got to make the decision. Let me tell you, salvation is a free gift. For all of us.
Yes,
God wants all of us to be saved. In the book of Peter, it says that Jesus is long-suffering. He's long-suffering. He's waiting to come back. He can come back any day, but He's waiting because He wants all of us to make it into heaven. Somebody out there is contemplating it. You're thinking about it. Don't be like King Agrippa. King Agrippa told, what did he say? He said, I almost was persuaded. Somebody is only seeing you almost persuaded to be a Christian this morning, but almost can be too late.
Yes.
Come to God this morning. If you're already a Christian and maybe you fell off, you haven't been living right. It's not easy. I know, I'm human. I'm going through struggles too, we all are. It's not easy living right for God.
Right.
The devil's busy. Folks are trying to get you to go the opposite way all the time. So if you fell off, be honest with yourself.
Right.
And most importantly, be honest with God. Amen. Ask God to forgive you this morning. You don't have to be baptized again if you have been into Christ already, but you need to repent of your sins this morning. Ask Him to forgive you, and you can start off new this morning as well.
Yes.
You can come on either category
yes.
as we stand and sing the invitation song.